亲爱的弟兄姐妹朋友，欢迎大家来到这里跟我们一同聚会。我先要跟大家说新年快乐，圣诞快乐。线上的朋友们，也祝你们新年快乐 ，Happy New Year。那今天我们唱圣餐之前，我们唱两首赞美诗，我们用英文来唱。请大家起立。To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened a life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly lives, that no man from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be the wonder how transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
大家请坐。 Please be seated. 我们接下来有圣餐，我们用以下这首诗来准备我们的心。 Let's sing the following hymn to prepare our heart toward the upcoming communion ceremony. The song is In Tenderness He Sought Me. Let's try to sing our hearts out.
In tenderness He sought me, weary and sick and sin. and on his shoulders borne me back to his fold again. While angels in his precious sing into the courts of heaven reign. Oh, the love that sought me, all the blood that bought me, nor the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. He washed the bleeding sin wounds and poured in oil and wine. He whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice that made my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. He pointed to the nail print, for me his blood was shed. A mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wondered what his soul in me to suffer such deep agony. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, nor the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. I'm sitting in his presence, the sunshine of his face. While with adore and wonder, his blessings are retraced. It seems as if eternal days are far too short to sound his praise. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. So while the hours are passing on out his perfect rest, I'm waiting for the morning, the brightest and the best, when he will call us to his side to be with him his body's bride. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, nor the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
I know it's, I encourage you, I know it was not easy to come here this morning. It's a cold and snowy day. I know that you probably had to shovel your driveway before coming out, but I'm glad that you decided to come here. For those of you online, I'm glad that you decided to prioritize making Jesus, making worship of him, to start your new year. And so happy New Year, everyone. Well, this morning, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion, we're going to meditate on 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. And again, if you should have one of these cups for communion, maybe prepare that now by peeling off the top layer and preparing the cup so that we can eat and drink together. First Peter 1:5 says this: "Give praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a hope that is alive. It is alive because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He has given us new birth so that we might share in what belongs to him. It is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept in heaven for you. Through faith, you are kept safe by God's power. Your salvation is going to be completed. It is ready to be shown to you in the last days." This is the word of the Lord. Well, the Apostle Peter tells God's people in Asia Minor to give praise to our Heavenly Father because he has given us new birth. I know this time of year, January 1st, today's January 2nd, is often a time where we reflect on last year. We look forward to the new year. Many people, many families, many individuals make goals of like, hey, some changes I want to make, some things I want to accomplish for the new year. But I cannot think of anything more transformative than a new birth, being reborn. There can be nothing more transformative than being like, oh, new birth, you're brand new, right? New heart, new mind, new eyes. And so just as people receive their ethnic identity, people receive their citizenship, people sometimes receive, you know, kind of like a socioeconomic class or their innate potential from their biological parents. We as Christians, because we have a new birth, we also have a new identity, a new citizenship, right? I know sometimes, especially now in this kind of political climate, we think of ourselves as citizens of, you know, citizens of the United States, citizens of any particular country, sometimes dual citizenship. But truly, if we begin to think of ourselves as now, we have a new birth, we have a new identity, and we have a new citizenship in heaven. How we see ourselves forms our identity, how we relate to society. And this new birth, of course, is made possible by Jesus' death and resurrection from the grave. And his Holy Spirit has come inside the church when we received him by faith. So as we start church, as we start this new year, remember that you have a new birth. You've been born again in Christ Jesus. Root yourself in that new identity. Go, no, my first and foremost identity in Christ. My first and foremost citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. That's where I belong. We cannot see it, but it has already been started. And what Peter says, he says this new birth gives rise to a living hope. People are looking for hope all over the place. Particularly these past couple years, it's been a challenging past couple years, but people where can we find hope? This living hope comes from our completed salvation. It's a gift that God is going, yep, I have this for each of you. Your completed salvation, it is a gift that can never, he says, this hope can never be, can never fade away, it can never be spoiled, it can never be tarnished, because the Lord is holding it for us. So I'm just so thankful, church, as we look forward into 2022. I know, but we're different. We're different because we have living hope. At Oakland Chinese Church, we have an open table. Again, you do not need to be a member of OCC to participate in communion. We just ask that you are a follower of Jesus and that you've been baptized. If you're not a Christian, you're here now. You just simply refrain. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and broke it. He said, "My body, which is for you, do this." Lord Jesus, we thank you because, again, you sought us out. Lord, while we were still yet sinners, while we were not at all, we remember not at all being interested in you, going our own direction, living our own lives, living the way that we wanted to live for ourselves. We had no heart for you. And while we were still yet sinning against you, while we were still enemies against you, you came to us, you initiated with us, you loved us so much that in some way, somehow, through your word, through the church, through people, you came to us and you told us, you revealed yourself to us, you loved us so much. And you purchased us, you bought us with your blood. And your body was broken for us. Lord, we give thanks to you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's eat together. And then at the Passover supper, Jesus would have taken the cup. He would have picked up the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Church, let's drink together. Thank you. We've been given new birth. We have new minds with new eyes to see the world, to see you, to see ourselves brand new way. Your scripture says that we've actually been given a new heart, that our heart of stone, our heart of hardness towards you has been removed. And because we have a brand new heart, one that loves your commands, one that loves you, one that loves people. So, Lord, we think of this new year, we think of the new start that we have for the Christian, for us as the church. We truly do have a clean slate, a new beginning every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, you can turn in your Bibles or on your phones to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. We're going to look at Matthew 12, verse 46 through 50 this morning, among a couple of other places in the scriptures, but that's where we're going to start. Matthew 12, 46 to 50 for the scripture reading this morning. Says this. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you." Jesus asked, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, church, what we thought we'd do to start out 2022 is we would do a series on church, the concept of church, the entity, the body of Christ, the church, okay? What the scriptures say about what we call church. I have noticed that over the years, my concept, my idea, how I thought of the church has changed since I was very young. When I was young, I very much thought of the church as the building. Okay, the church was the building. And it was nothing more for me than the building. I would say, my family, let's go to church. Let's go to the building, okay? And sometimes I hear the youth say, you know, on a Saturday night, or I'll see them message each other, text or whatever, "Are you going to church tonight?" Yep. I know what they're asking. I know what they're saying. They're saying, like, "Are you going to be there tonight? Are you going to be there?" So for me, to start out in the beginning, the church was just the physical building. And then when I was born again, and I was a very young Christian, so just growing my faith, very young in my faith, my concept of church changed. Church for me was the organization. And as a young Christian, I was very, I don't know if you guys have ever been through this, where I was just very enamored with the megachurch. The reason why I was enamored with the megachurch is because I read a lot of the books from the pastors of the megachurch. And I was impressed by the organization, just the massive size of the megachurch. So that's just my thinking when I was a young Christian. I lived in the middle of Wisconsin, so there was no megachurch around in the middle of Wisconsin. So whenever I was at home, my family lived just maybe an hour north of Chicago. I would sometimes take my friends, or there's a few times I call it like a journey to the church, because I was so impressed. I was just like, "Oh, wouldn't it be so cool to go see what this mega church is like?" And so I remember one time being at home, a couple of my friends, we were at a Christian music concert, and then I said, "Hey, Let's go to one of these large churches in Chicago nearby my parents' house." So we took a road trip. And when I was there, I remember the building being very new, very large. And the presentation of the services were very smooth. It just was like, wow. I remember even taking some of my family there, you know, just to see. And they're like, "Wow, that was like a, I mean, it was, felt like a show." It was very, very smooth, very slick. But when I look at the scriptures, what the scriptures say about church, it is neither described as the building or an organization, but family. Okay? We're family. And there are some some elements of organization. We have, of course, we have leaders, we have elders, we have deacons. So there are some elements of organization. But the visuals that scriptures give is of like, this is family. And look, I know, my wife and I, we had some friends that went to mega churches and so forth. And I don't want to degrade a mega church at all. I'm just saying, and we knew people who came to know the Lord through these large churches. And perhaps, church, even perhaps if you were to go to the people in a very large church, church of 4,000, maybe they would see themselves as like, nope, we're just one large family, right? But the visuals that we see when we open the Bible and we're like, hey, what is church? What do we see when Jesus talks about church, when the apostles talk about church? What do we see? Okay. And we don't see so much of an organization. So what I want us to talk about, what I want us to think about this morning is how we relate to each other. How are we to relate to each other here at OCC as we gather here together, as we do life together, both here at OCC and also as the Big C Church, the World Church? How do we relate to each other? How do we connect? Matthew 12, Jesus redefines, okay? He's redefining for God's people how they relate, how they are to think about, like, when we're together, this is how we are. This is what we are to be. He's like, this is not, you once thought it was this way, it's actually this way, okay? Verse 46, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Verse 47, someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. He was talking to a large crowd inside. They want to speak to you. First, what I wanted to do is I want us to look at, hey, why? Why was, okay, Jesus is inside with disciples, a bunch of other people, a crowd. Outside is his family, Mary, his brothers. And one of the questions we ask is like, well, why? Why were they wanting to speak with Jesus? What were they there for? In Matthew, it doesn't say. We don't know. We don't know why his family is outside wanting to speak with Jesus. However, if we look at other accounts, there's another account that's similar to this one, similar story, Gospel of Mark. We do get a sense of why his mom and his brothers are outside wanting to speak with him. Chapter 3 of Mark, Jesus' family had heard all the way back in Nazareth, that Jesus' ministry was causing a commotion, right? What Jesus was saying, how he was ministering, his message was causing trouble. His family came from Nazareth all the way to Capernaum because we don't want you to embarrass yourself, Jesus. In fact, we don't want you to embarrass the family, right? Because what you are saying and what we hear all the way back in Nazareth is that there is a commotion. There is things that you are saying that's kind of like, this is not good. This is not good. Mark, and so they came to Capernaum to try to take Jesus back home. Mark 3:21 says that Jesus' family heard what was happening, and they tried to take him back home with them, for they said, he is out of his mind. Jesus' family thought, he's crazy. He has lost his mind. And we need to take him back home so that he can be well again, so that we can kind of straighten him out. And so what was happening was Jesus was causing commotion because what he was doing was he was overturning a lot of the Hebrew institutions that had been established. Okay? He was causing commotion. Here's an example. It's just in Mark 3 leading up to this point where his family wants to bring him back home. He healed a man who had a deformed arm on Sabbath. Okay? Sabbath. So the religious leaders challenged him. They were waiting for this. They're like, yeah, if you heal him, you are doing work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath must be no work on Sabbath. We have established, look back to the Ten Commandments, and we have written laws all around establishing what the Sabbath is, what it entails, what we the kind of work that you should do, the kind of work that you should not, absolutely should not do. Healing someone, that disrupts the Sabbath. That is overturning what we've established as a community. Okay. Jesus says, is it legal to do good deeds on the Sabbath? He challenges them directly. He's overturning things, causing commotions. According to his family, he's like, yeah, he's off a little bit. Okay. Jesus was reshaping. He was reshaping what it meant to be a follower of Yahweh and a follower of himself. He's like, no, Sabbath is for rest. God made Sabbath, but it was for the people, it wasn't the law, right? It's not the law it's love is the most important thing. He was trying to help people understand, you know, to follow God is the whole purpose of the commandments, to love God and love people. You've lost that, okay? Reshaping. And how God's people saw themselves, how they would identify that, how they saw themselves as a people, he was also reshaping. God's people at the time would have probably saw themselves not as family. You know, like in the community, in parts of the city, in the area that we now call Israel, people probably would have said, oh, this is a local family. We're families. We're all family. Okay, people at that time probably would have identified themselves more ancestrally. God's people at the time would have said, you know, we are ancestors of Abraham. That's what brings us together. That we are God's chosen people. Okay, that's what how they would have said that. Some the locals, they probably wouldn't have said, no, we're family. They would have said, no, we're all. It's maybe more nationally a little bit, but they didn't have a nation. Time it wasn't the nation of Israel, but very much ancestrally of going, yeah, we are his chosen people. We are sons and daughters of Abraham. We are the ones who God freed from Egypt and gave us the promised land. But Jesus is like, no, wait, no, that's not how you're to think of yourselves. You're not to think of yourselves as, oh, we're automatically the chosen people. It doesn't matter what we do, how we are, who are connected. We're just because we're ancestrally part of Abraham. He's like, no, that's not how you think of yourselves. His mother and brothers are waiting outside to bring him home because they think he's crazy. And let's go back to verse 48. Jesus asked, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples. It's like, yeah, you know what? This is my mother. These are my brothers right here. His 12 were there. There were not only the 12, but other disciples, other followers, women were there. And Jesus reshapes how the people of God were to look at themselves. Not ancestrally. Because again, even for me, church, even for me growing up, I was like, yep, I'm a Christian. You know why I'm a Christian? Because my mom and dad, we go to church, we attend the church building. That's how I saw myself. I'm like, yep, I'm a Christian because I go to the church. He's like, nope, not because you go to the church, not because you attend, you're in the building, not because of your ancestors. That's not what makes you a follower, one who belongs to God. The church, God's people, it's our family. These are my mother and these are my brothers. We're family. I do want to note that Jesus did not come to abolish the biological family. In fact, he would later say, later in the scriptures, he would say, you say honor your mother and father, and yet some of you aren't even caring for your mother and father. You use that as an excuse, like, oh, we say out loud, honor your mother and father, but you're not even caring for your mother and father. Like, so definitely Jesus is not, he didn't come, his purpose was not to go, the church is your family. You can just forget your biological family. Not true. It's not true. That's not what he came here for. But a question is raised. One of the questions that I want to raise is, okay, so then, since church is family, since we're family, how can we know if we're part of God's family? Who's in the family? Because then I shared with you earlier, like, I did, growing up as a young child, I'm like, I'm not sure. So I thought I was, I wouldn't say part of the family. I just thought I was maybe a part of the organization or I was in the church. Who is in the family? So again, for example, we know that, you know, say if you attend church every Sunday, each and every Sunday, or if you go online and you're watching each and every Sunday, again, that does not make you a part of God's family per se. So what does? Okay, what makes us a part of family? Okay. Then he pointed, verse 49, back up a little bit, then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does, verse 50, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Okay, so there it is. There's a key to going, oh, here's how I know. Here's how I can be sure if I'm like, yes, I'm a part of the family. Okay, it's obedience to the call to the kingdom of heaven. That's one of the central features of this spiritual family. Do you have a heart? You're like, oh yeah, I love God's word. I love to obey his commands. I love to do what he wants me to do. I want to do what he wants me to do. To follow him, to submit to the reign, to his reign in your life is one who's in the family. Okay. Jesus said, all those who are in a relationship with me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and live with them. Anyone who does not love me will not do what I say. Right? So if you know that you're in a relationship with them, you know you're a part of the family, if you're like, yeah, I have this new heart. I have this new desire to do what he commands me to do, commands us to do. So practically, I remember, church, I don't know if you can remember this. I don't know if you can remember, because some of us have been Christians for quite some time. And so I hope that you can remember this, but I remember being a part of a Christian community, hearing God's word and going, I don't want it. I don't want to do that. This is a little weird, because I remember worshiping with God's people, and I wasn't used to like just worship, and I remember being a part of Bible studies when I was considering God, when I was like, maybe, and when I at one point, again, I still thought of myself a Christian. Then I realized God revealed to me that I was like, nope, you're not, because you don't want me. You know, so I don't know if you remember that time when you're like, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to do the Father's will. Or perhaps even now, maybe those who are listening, if you're really honest with yourself, if you're really honest, you're like, still, like, I've come to OCC for quite some time, but still, I see what Jesus desires from his people. And even right now, if you're really honest, you're like, I don't want that. And if that's the case for you, if you're listening to this, then you know for sure, then you can know that you are not at this time, according to scriptures, a part of the family, okay? Part of the church family. So let's go back a little bit. The church, again, it's not a building. It's not an organization. But Jesus calls us a family. So how then, how, church, are we to relate to each other? How are we to be with each other? How are we to be a church family that we are. Okay? Well, think about how we can think about this is think about how a healthy family relates. Okay? Think about how a healthy, if you want to think about the church, like, hey, we're here together, we're online, we're all together right now, we do life together. If you want to think about how a church family is to be, just kind of go back, step one further back and go, hey, how is a healthy family, what does a healthy family look like? Okay. And I realize, church, I realize that we come from all different kinds of family backgrounds. I realize that maybe your earthly family may or may not be a good example of how a healthy family relates. Okay. And I also know that, like, even as we think about, like, oh, here's what a healthy family would look like, I know that we may also have different ideas of, like, what a healthy family looks like. But here's the great thing is that the scriptures don't just leave us, like, well, just be a healthy family. The scriptures tell us, like, how to be as a family, since we are mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, right? God's word tells us, 1 John 4:10. If you guys want to turn there, you can. 1 John on your phones or 1 John 4:10. Sorry. 1 John 4:10. Says, if someone says, I love God. Sorry, I'm sorry, this is, it's 1 John 4:20. Sorry about that, church. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For we don't love people. If we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. So I know that maybe if you're looking at whatever version you might be looking at, it might just say brothers, you know, the Christian brothers. But again, what John was referring to was the church, okay? Right? So if we can't love the church, we can't even love the people that is like right in front of us. We can see each other. How can you love God whom you can't see? Even God himself is like, you've got to love not only me, but you've got to love the brothers and sisters. And so here, church, you may know this already. When I look at your faces, I know that like most of you, like, yeah, I've kind of already heard this concept. I already know that church is family. Again, for me, I share with you, it was not that way for me. It was truly like an organization. And there might be some of you, like some who are listening, they're like, oh, I guess I hadn't really thought of church as family. So you may have already heard this. But this passage, that verse, 1 John 4:20, 21, is where, I guess the American idiom is where the rubber meets the road, right? Is where it's like, nope. It is not just like, hey, okay, I understand that church is family, but it is more like, hey, how can we be that? How can we walk this out? How can we, in our lives, walk this out? This is where it moves from kind of just, you know, a nice message on church is family in the beginning of the year to we've got to walk this out in our lives. Maybe you're here now, maybe you're watching online, and there is someone, a brother or sister, who's like, yeah, I think that I am hearing this message. God is giving me this message this morning because I think I need to go to her or him and ask for their forgiveness. Right? Because that's the real, that's not just hearing the message. Because in families, healthy families, right? Biological families, church families, that's what healthy families do. Is like they've wronged someone, they go, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking of you. Right? Or maybe it's not asking for someone for forgiveness. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Like if you're holding a grudge right now, you know, and again, I was praying for you, church. I was praying that, like, Lord, I pray that the Spirit would bring to your mind, if there is someone that's like, yeah, this message is not just for a good message to start out the year, but I was praying for you, like, if there's someone that you need to go to, I pray the Holy Spirit would bring this person, him or her, to your mind. You're like, yeah, I need to be family. And healthy families forgive one another. Healthy families do not hold grudges, right? Or we even want to go a step further. It's like maybe it's someone to serve. Like going, Lord, who do you want me to serve? Or forgive and serve, like serve the person. Okay. Because that is, if you look at biological families, small families, that's what healthy families do. They forgive one another. They don't hold grudges. You know, again, the phrase one another. It's the Greek word allelon. It occurs 100 times in the New Testament. 100 times in the New Testament of one another. So when you think about family, it's one another. Allelon means one another. It means each other. It means mutually. It means reciprocally. Okay? So you know these. You know these. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another mutually. Mutually. Build up one another. That's what families do. Build up one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Comfort one another. That's what family does. These are just a few of the one another's that the church is to walk out, the church families to walk out with each other. And that's why you can't be like a lone Christian. Like when you look at so much of the New Testament, there's no way that you can like look at the Bible and go, yeah, I can be a Christian. I just don't want to be a part of the church. I'll just do my Christian thing on my own. Like, I don't know how you can do that, because how are you to practice that when God loves the church? I know in culture today, it's popular to say, I love God, I just don't love the church. I just don't want to be part of the church. Now, that's kind of trending today to kind of have that attitude, but you can't. You can't do it, because God so loves the church. He loves the church. And if you are a follower of Christ, you're like, I too want to be a part of the church family. I too want to love the family. I too want to be a part of the community. When you guys were calling us, texting my family, caring for us these past few weeks, it felt like family. That, to me, that's what family does, right? But we've got to. The key for us this morning, for this year, for our lives, is to walk it out. And for myself, I pray the same thing as I was going through this message. I'm like, Lord, how can I be more family? Who? To whom? So ask him today, ask him this week, is there some way you can walk out being a family with OCC? He'll answer you. He'll answer you. And so what this means is that sometimes as the family, what it means is that sometimes you'll be on the giving side. You'll be the one who's giving, who's the giver of love, the giver of comfort, the giver of care. the giver of forgiveness. Like I, and that's what we want, not only within the church, but we want those outside the church, when they come into the family and they just are a part, just even for a little while, they can see us in either our small groups or large worship. If they can see, like, wow, that is unique that she forgave her, or he forgave him, or she, or this person sacrificed for this person. Boy, that's attractive. It's like, oh, how can, what is, I don't see that in the rest of the world. Sometimes you'll be a giver. Sometimes you'll be a receiver. Okay? So, I confess, sometimes church, it's a little bit hard for me sometimes to be the receiver. It's, you know, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. For one, when it comes to giving, don't let self-centeredness or busyness get in the way of giving to the church family. Self-centeredness or busyness get in the way of giving to the family. Okay. And then don't let pride or a self-sustaining attitude get in the way of receiving. Because it's a family. And in a family, you both give and you receive. Sometimes for me, it's like maybe pride or self-sustaining gets in the way of like just receiving. Be gracious and being ministered to. So I'm going to leave you with a short passage from the book of Acts that sounds like family to me. I love the picture. It says, and all the believers, the church family, they met together constantly. They shared everything they had. They sold their possessions, shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day. I know, each day. Sometimes I'm like, oh, we gather on Sundays, we gather on Saturdays. But boy, the early church, they were like, each day they were like, let's go and worship the Lord. Let's gather together. Let's get together. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their needs with great joy and generosity. To me, that sounds like family. I've told you this before. I know that the early church was not perfect. They were not. They had problems. They had issues. But this picture of meeting in each other's homes, sharing with each other with great joy, with generosity, that sounds like family to me. So if you're listening this morning, either online or here, and you know, you're like, I'm not sure, after hearing what it means to be a part of the family, I realize that I am not. I want to let you know that Jesus is always, like, he's like, always like, come to me. Come to me. You can be a part of the family today. Like this morning, you can. I would love for you to be a part of the family. Jesus' arms are always open. It is simply by faith confessing to him, yep, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I have done things which offended you, God. And then it is simply going, yep, and I need you. I need, by faith, I receive that which you have done on the cross. That which you've accomplished, your body, your blood, bought me, just like we sang. By faith, receiving that. Once you've done that, he's like, I'll take you in. You'll be my son or daughter, and you will now have brothers, sisters, fathers and mothers. It is family. This is the word of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you that once we receive you, not only you are our brother, you are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our Creator, you are the beginning and the end, but your word says that you are also like our brother. And not only that, is that when we receive you, we come in to the church which is family. So Lord, I pray that as we start this 2022, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us that we would be as you have asked us to be. We'd look at each other, we'd look at one another, and see each other, see brothers and sisters, love each other, empowered by your love, empowered by what you've given to us, so that the world would look at the church and see your multifaceted glory. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brady. people, please rise. 大家请站起来，我们来唱我们今天的回应诗歌。 我们的救主耶稣明天到来， 你是否准备好了？ Are you ready when our Savior returns? 我们一起来唱金色黎明， 我们用英文来唱。 起来。 Some glorious morn sorrow will cease, some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches were ended, scared days were done, heaven will end, Jesus will come. Some golden is Jesus will come. Some good day breaks, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden day break for me, for you. Sad hearts will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Change in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles are won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. No wider meeting, there's in the skies. No tears, no crying, shall in my eyes love one united eternally. Oh, what a day breaks, thy morn will be. Some golden day breaks, Jesus, welcome. Some golden day breaks, battles are won. He'll shout a victory, break through the blue. Some golden day breaks for me, for you.
再用中文唱词副歌，
当金色黎明耶稣降临，当金色黎明征战全赢，主的圣呼声越走真经，当金色黎明神就欢喜。
弟兄姐妹，2022年第一个主日，喜乐平安。今天有8项报告。2项是新的报告，6项是去年，我们连续报告到今年。首先是教会的使命，以耶稣基督的福音拯救灵魂，改变生命。教会的意向，更新的生命，合一的教会，福音的使者，宣教的伙伴。好，第二项。教会已经从去年2021年7月11号开放到现在，欢迎弟兄姐妹来参加聚会。好，第三项是儿童事工报告，请有负担的弟兄姐妹对于婴儿 Pre-K 有负担的弟兄姐妹与严凯弟兄联络。谢谢。第四项是新的报告，是刘健姐妹的母亲生病了，现在在准备看医生，请弟兄姐妹在这段时间为刘健姐妹的母亲祷告，以及我们还有姐妹教会的弟兄姐妹有生病在医治当中，复原康复当中，也请各位弟兄姐妹继续祷告支持。好，下一第五项是Rachel Susan 宣教士，他们现在还在等待到日本的签证，请各位弟兄姐妹继续为他们的信心以及在主里面的仰望来为他们祷告纪念。下面一张是宣教士我们继续为我们宣教士 David 梁身体的康复，以及他的儿子 Nathan 以及他的媳妇 Heather 要参加 Corrado TCK 团队的新的服事的来祷告，来纪念。下面一张是缅甸，我们教会为缅甸参与缅甸筹建诊所的奉献以及祷告，是到今天为止奉献到今天为止，祷告请继续祷告。好，下面一个是这一第八项也是新的报告，也是今年开始第一季的主日学基要真理组继续研读天路客之歌 旧约主是研读历史书中王国时期被掳与归回的书卷以及诗歌还有智慧书。第三组是新约组，今年开始研读以弗所书。好，那今天有没有新朋友？有没有新朋友？我们很欢迎你们来参加我们的聚会。好，如果没有没关系，我们请弟兄姐妹彼此起来，来欢呼一下，打招呼啊！尤其在这么今年2022年的第一个主日，以及在这么第一场新大学的，大家能够到这边，能够彼此相见，这就是我们刚才所说的家庭 family。好，谢谢。
请我们低头祷告。主啊，我们谢谢你给我们今天有机会来到这里，大家一同敬拜你，赞美你，因为你是配得我们敬拜，你是配得我们赞美的，你是创造天地，也是创造我们继续与我们同在的神。我们将教会所有的事工都放在你面前，我们谢谢你去年一年在疫情中间怎么样帮助我们教会继续有聚会，继续有敬拜，继续有查经，甚至在我们教会以外很远的地方也可以跟我们用 Zoom一起聚会。主要我们谢谢你今天给我们的信息教导我们怎么样彼此相处，靠着你自己给我们的能力彼此相爱，彼此饶恕，彼此关心，彼此照顾。我们谢谢你给了我们的新的生命，使得我们能够靠着你的能力在教会以外的人面前能够活出你的大能。我们求你纪念我们教会所支持的宣教士，我们特别想到 Richard 跟 Susan Bay，他们正在等待日本能够开放，让他们能够进去。我们也是纪念到 David Leung， 他食道癌，需要你向他常常保证你与他同在，也会医治他。我们为我们教会中间正在化疗的几位姐妹祷告，我们知道你的本意是最好的，你的决定是最好的，你的旨意是最好的。我们求你与他们同在，求你医治他们，让众人可以看见你自己的大能。我们也是为我们教会每一位弟兄姐妹祷告，求你在他们的心中烧火，让每个人都更加火热的快跑来跟随你。主要我们今年也有不少的读经群、祷告群，借着微信借着各样的网上的软件，可以一同来敬拜你，一同来更明白你的旨意。求你与我们同在，求你复兴这个教会。我们这样祈求祷告 奉主耶稣基督的名求，阿们。请默祷散会。